Ghouls and Goblins. My name is Alexia.
And I'm Josh.
And you're listening to
Bytown's Haunted History.
This week we're going to be interviewing a Ottawa local with their not-so-local story. Charlie Armstrong tells us about a story that happened to his mother when she was very young, a strange encounter of sorts, and how it has been a long, well-kept family secret until now, and how it's impacted his life up to this point.
Let's jump right into it.
Here we are with Charlie Armstrong, and we're going to be talking about an experience that not him, but his mother had when she was younger, and how it affected him in his current life. Charlie, do you care to say anything before we get started?
Yes, I'll be telling a story this evening that affected my mother, both her understanding of the world we currently live in, as well as her relationship with her parents. Telling this story in such a public way is definitely a new experience, because at the time she swore never to tell anybody, and then accidentally told someone I know in the family, and then they told me, and now I'm telling everybody. It came up when my sibling, Stephen, they were simply driving around or nearby Balaclava, Ontario, which is a fairly well-known ghost town to where my extended family has settled in recent years, and they were mentioning that they would like to be an urban explorer and like kick down these rotting wood doors and explore these old places. And my mother just felt the need to share this experience that she hasn't told a soul since she was like 8 years old.
Okay. Your mother told your sibling and your sibling told you.
Correct.
Okay. So what, pray tell, is the story?
My mother and her family lived way out in the boonies by Black Donald Lake, and they had very fulfilling lives in the way rural communities do. To supplement income in hard times, they being the three of them, my mother, her father, and her mother, would go to the nearby ghost town of Black Donald Mines. It's a lovely little community that's mostly underwater these days, after they flooded the area for some hydro purpose. That's not a pun. It has to do with flooding. It's some dam relied on having to flood that area.
Makes sense.
So yes, they would go from abandoned building to abandoned building and let themselves in through a variety of means and scour it for left behind heirlooms or antiques, things of craft that could be either repurposed for their home or simply sold for, you know, gas money.
So what is the main event?
The ghost in this incident, I believe, was named Sarah. On a day like any other, they kayaked up Constant Creek into Black Donald Mines and picked a place they had never robbed before. In this particular home, for whatever incredibly sad reason it was, there were still pictures everywhere.
Oh.
Photographs on the walls, on the fireplace, older paintings. Nothing too elaborate or expensive, but the same sort of heirlooms that, you know, people's grandmothers these days would have hanging up around their house were still hanging in their places around the main floor of this building. And the curious thing was that these pictures displayed a happy family of four plus a dog. The mother, the father, and a young pair of daughters, one slightly older than the other. But the reason I spent so much time on these photographs is that as my 8-year-old mother was preparing her role in this heist, she couldn't get the eyes of these cheerful people off of her. She couldn't ever feel comfortable. And at one point, she called over to her mother, tugging her by her wrist, saying, you know, come here, miss, look, that's me. And my grandmother's like, what? It's like, that's me in the picture. I haven't seen this in a long time. And my grandmother said, I have no idea, that's not you. You were not alive at that time in history. And we did not take pictures of you and plant them here. You're clearly mistaken. But you know, one tiny Irish girl looks much like another, especially when everyone's wearing heirloom clothes. And she got really upset, my mother did, that she wasn't being listened to. You know how kids are when they have something to say and you're clearly not paying attention and not seeing how high they can go on the swing. She wanted to prove exactly what she knew. And she listed by name the father, the mother, what the father did for a living. He, of course, was a farmer over in Ireland and came over to the Black Donald Mines to pick up mining to support his family. Mother had quite a taste for weaving and sewing, but didn't get to do it so much anymore. And, you know, described how her and her sister spent their days. And this was quite distressing to my grandmother and my grandfather, who had no idea what was going on and why their little 8-year-old was pulling such an elaborate prank. Please, please, Colleen, like, you don't know what you're saying. You're really starting to worry us what's going on. And she said, my name's not Colleen, I'm Sarah. Her name's not Sarah. That was not the name she was born with. Yeah. And she began getting distressed that these people who she identified as strangers were constantly using the wrong name. Were calling her Colleen instead of Sarah and were insisting they were her mother and father, when clearly her mother and father were on all of these paintings and pictures around the house. My grandmother and my grandfather were quite distressed at this point, telling her, you need to knock this off right now. Kid, you're scaring your mother. She's not my mother. It's stuff like that that's really frightening your mom, and you need to do we need to step outside and like calm down? She's not my mom. Are you not listening to me? This argument escalated as my grandfather tried to talk my mother down. Eventually, she decided, oh, I think I can prove this to you. Prove what? When we left Ireland to come here to Canada, we had to do so very quickly, and I couldn't take any of my dolls, and I couldn't take any of my favorite things, but I did manage to grab a leprechaun soap dish.
Oh. Good.
That's very specific.
It is quite specific. And, you know, my grandparents were not interested in this story of Irish ghosts and soap dishes, and their constant trying to calm down my mother only forced her to become more agitated, and eventually shouted, here, I'll just show you, and scampered up the stairway. In the bottom of a small chest was a tiny, crafted and painted porcelain soap dish of a leprechaun hanging out on a tree stump.
I imagine they didn't take to that very well.
Yeah.
No. Her prize in hand, my mother came down the stairs and said, and tried to explain again to these strangers to her now, that my name is Sarah, this is my family, I'm looking for my sister, and I would like you to help me. And here, look at this soap dish. How could I have known this was here if this is not my house? How could I have known where to find it so quickly if I did not put it there? And my grandfather, done with trying to logic debate a ghost, asked to see the soap dish, hoisted this soap dish over his head and smashed it on the ground into 1,000 pieces, quickly grabbed my mother by her wrist and dragged them out into the street and back to their kayaks, making my mother swear to never reference this again and to never talk about Sarah or her family. So when she was older, her late 20s, early 30s, she was getting her way through night school to reach the career she ended up reaching, and was making money to handle that by being a manager at some clothing line or another with her then boyfriend in the Niagara Falls area. And one day, like any other, working this boring retail job, an interesting character came and visited. The White Witch of Niagara Falls, who was a rather famous psychic / medium at the time. And she made two predictions that evening that were quite impressive. Because as my mother never told any of these stories for anything, Miss White Witch of Niagara Falls was either just a totally astounding cold reader and con artist, or there was something to this. The first prediction she made was that my mother's then boyfriend should not take the usual route home this day. She told my mother where her boyfriend worked and what road he normally took to get home, and that he shouldn't take that road, he should take this road instead. That night, at about the time this person would have been driving home from work at that day, there was a massive pileup of cars on the highway he normally took home, which he was spared from after my mother called him at his work, sobbing and sighing and demanding, I don't believe in this stuff, but you have to take this other route home. And being a good boyfriend, he just did it without asking or making a big thing of it. The second prediction the White Witch of Niagara Falls made for my mother that evening is that you will be reunited with your first sister very soon.
Okay.
Ooh, now this is interesting.
Yes, Miss White Witch predicted that my mother, addressing her not by the name Colleen on her name tag, but instead as Old Sarah, looked my mother dead in the eye and empathized with her of how hard it must have been losing a sibling, losing family members that young. Now, my mother had not actually done that in her lifetime, but she specifically predicted that sooner than you think, you are going to get pregnant, and the child you give birth to will have the soul of your first sister, who never got a fair chance at life.
Thank you, Charlie, for speaking with us about this today. I can't imagine how often you get to tell a story like this.
I like telling stories, and I'm happy to share.
Now, wasn't that a spooky interview? I think that's such a cool story, because you always see these videos and these, like, wives' tales of people becoming possessed, but rarely do you ever actually get to hear this, like, this story from a woman who probably vividly remembers the experience of not being herself.
And yet she still doesn't believe in ghosts.
Yeah, which is really interesting to think about.
Charlie touched on this a little bit, and, like, he believes his own mother more about this because she's not trying to use it to gain attention or get money. She kept it a secret for so long, told her children, and then just continued to not think about it anymore. So you'd almost want to believe somebody like that more than somebody who's just being, like, posting it all over the internet.
Yeah, of course. If anything, I wish they would have kept that little the soap dish. I think that would have been a crazy, like, evidence, you know, if only the father hadn't broken it.
Honestly, something like that would be, not to talk about the disenfranchisement of ghost hunting, but something like that probably would have sold for a lot.
Yeah, and to think, like, that could have even been, like, if the tale is true that, like, a soul is attached to an object when they pass, that would have been interesting to think if her soul was connected to the soap dish.
Yeah. There was a lot of discussion between Charlie and his siblings trying to figure out which one of them might actually be the host for Sarah's soul.
Yeah, that's exactly what they were saying, is not one sibling stands out from the others as being like, yeah, that one definitely is the soul
of a little Irish girl.
But each of them kind of have an aspect of their lives that can be interpreted into being a soul from someone else.
Everybody wants to live their best life in different ways.
Exactly, and we don't know how the sister wanted to live her life, so maybe she wants to live it as one of the siblings and the way that they're living theirs now. That's been one spooky episode. I hope you guys join us for next week's episode when we interview a real live ghost.
Maybe it'll be Sarah.
Imagine?